Welcome back to Weems Talks Racing. Tonight we will discuss All-Star Week and North Wilkesboro, the goods, the bads, and the in-between. We'll talk about how I called the winner of the late model stock race and what I know about the guy who won it. We also go over what I think NASCAR should do to better their short track racing package and make our picks for the cup race next week. Get in, sit down, shut up, and hold on as it all starts right now. All right, here we are, the week after the All-Star Week.
Yep.
It was a long week of racing, huh?
It was a long week of racing.
We watched a lot of racing in this house. I know I did. Awesome, though. Really cool to see everything back at North Wilkesboro.
Yeah.
Really nostalgic. For me, especially, I was there as a kid.
Mm-hmm. What did your mom say, 29 years ago, 28
years
ago?
Mom said 28 or 29. Dad thinks it was 27. I think it was one of the last, you know, races there, maybe like a couple of years before they shut the track down, which I still can't really figure out why they shut that track down. I mean, really, the last race, which obviously we'll get into, but the last race was a little bit of a sleeper, but every other race, I watched every race at that track, and they were all just really good.
Yeah.
I mean, the racing, the tire wear, the strategy, just, it really was just a great week of racing.
I would like to go there.
For sure. I really want to try to get tickets. I hope that they keep the All-Star Week there. They're talking a lot about maybe bringing a points race in there.
Really?
Which would be cool. I really like it, though. Honestly, in my opinion, I'd rather them not.
Why?
Make it a points race. I think that that type of racetrack with the nostalgia, with it being right there around all their shops and their homes, I think that is just the perfect venue to have the All-Star Race.
That's fair.
Don't have a points race there. Just have a week like we just had every year. Maybe bring in different series. You know, maybe next year, instead of running three different late model series, because those late models, they all have different packages and engines and rules, but they look the same.
Yeah.
Maybe next year bring, you know, maybe not the Xfinity Series, maybe bring the Modifieds in, the Tour Mods. That would be awesome. I mean, that would be worth the price of admission right there. There's so many different series. Bring Silver Crown in, the sprint cars without wings. Mm-hmm. You've probably never really seen them race, but some people know what I'm talking about. If you listen to a racing podcast, remember the days of Thursday Night Thunder. They used to do Thursday Night Thunder on ESPN every Thursday night, and it was back when Tony Stewart, Ryan Newman, they were all racing sprint cars, and it was just really, really good racing.
That's cool.
So first, I'm going to dive right in here. We got a lot to cover. Like I said, there was three late model races. The one that everybody, or at least the one that I was most excited about, was the late model stock race. You had Dale Jr. running, Kevin Harvick, Ross Chastain, Daniel Suarez, Chase Briscoe, and then all the other Cars Tour. This is the new tour that Dale Jr., Kevin Harvick, the guy who owns Trackhouse, Marcus Smith, they're all like co-owners of this tour. They all took it over this year, and it's just it's really cool. They're semi-affordable late models, and They don't have like a big, they're just running, you know, not a crazy engine package, and it's affordable, it's good, leveled out racing, like all the cars are pretty close.
Is it like a crate motor?
I don't know exactly what motor they run. That's what I didn't really want to say, because I don't know for sure. I just know it's not some high dollar $50,000 motor like maybe some of the super late models have. But It's a series built for guys to all be pretty evenly matched as far as the rules go. They don't have a tire. They got to save their stuff. They don't have a tire that's going to last 100 laps. And it's just a good little series. flashback to last week, we talked about late model stock a little, and I mentioned that one of my iRacing buddies, Brendan Queen, was in the race. I thought he had a pretty good shot. Butterbean, he's a hell of a character. He, really good kid. We used to race. We raced in leagues together. Man, we probably raced 4 years straight. He raced in Can-Am with us.
Okay.
And he dominated a lot. He was very, very fast. I raced with him quite a bit, though. Talked to him a lot. Didn't always just race. A lot of times just bullshitting on Discord over... I mean, I've never met him in person, but I would like to think that we're friends. We're buddies from iRacing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not close or anything, but either way, Brendan and his team, he's racing for Lee Pulliam this year, which... Lee is like a legend when it comes to late model world. He's won a lot of races, a lot of championships. And as soon as I saw that Brendan got that ride, I just knew good things were coming for him. He's been racing his family-owned operation and has won some big races in their car, you know, to be fair.
Can-Am was Greg's group, correct?
Yes, Can-Am was our league, Can-Am Racing Series. Was the league that got me on iRacing. Yep. It was the first one I ever joined. I became an admin. We ran it for, I think Greg ran it for almost 10 years. It might even be more.
You've been in it since I've known you.
Oh, well, for sure. You guys stopped and a few recently. Years before I met you, at least 2012 is when I started racing with Can-Am. But Greg actually raced with a lot of those guys before iRacing, like back on the old computer NASCAR games.
So I know you have a lot to cover, but I have a question.
Go ahead.
Did your friends, like you've made some pretty good friends on iRacing. I mean, Greg was in our wedding and you've hung out with Mike and I mean, the one that we saw down in Daytona who let you.
Chase.
Yeah. Yes. So you've met quite a few of them. Were they all who you've raced with in Can-Am? Were they all watching, cheering him on? Have you talked to them since he raced?
I have not. I have not talked to any of them. Besides, Greg did say he messaged. We have a message group with five or six of my really close iRacing friends. And he did say he kind of felt like a proud father, which I wouldn't say father. Greg's a little older than I am. Maybe a big brother.
Yeah.
But it was. It was just, you know, when you know somebody like that and you race with them, and I'm telling you, Brendan started racing with us. He's probably, he can't be much older than 21, 22 right now.
Uh-huh.
He started racing us when he was a kid, 17, 18 maybe, I think younger though. Okay. And he was kind of like the kid of the group and was really fast and fun to race with, clean, aggressive, but smart. Just, it's funny. One of the first things I thought of when he ultimately won the late model stock race, huge for him and his team, specifically him.
Yeah.
Because anytime, one thing I want to touch on, anytime that you race in front of that multitude of a crowd with all the NASCAR guys there and stuff, it's a big deal.
Oh, for sure.
If you run well, because there's guys watching. Not only were Junior, Harvick, all those guys in the race, all the crew chiefs are there, all the team owners are there, cup cars practice the next day. So, like, everybody's there. And that's huge. I can remember when Dad and I were racing at Chemung, when you would race when like the Race of Champions Tour Modified Series would come around and stuff.
Yeah.
I always felt a little bit of added pressure because, you know, if you go out, you never, that's one thing that's nice about local short track racing. When you have a tour come in like that, if you go out there and like skunk the field or make a hell of a last lap pass or go from the back to the front, do something to open. All it takes is opening one person's eyes with a big pocketbook somewhere in the vicinity, and they could come up to you and shake your hand and say, hey, have a good rest of your season. Let's talk when the season's over and let's get you in one of my cars, you know?
How exciting.
And that's all it takes. And for Brendan, he was starting to walk towards the map. Before this race, he's on the map now.
Yeah. What a stepping stone iRacing has become for so many people to get into a car and into the big scene like this.
Yep. And I don't know Brendan's history before I knew him. I don't know if he like raced go-karts as a kid like I did and stuff like that. But and Brendan, in no way, shape, or form did he get his, like I said, he raced his family-owned car. So he didn't get his ride because of iRacing.
Right.
But like you said, it's just such a good tool. Mm-hmm. It teaches you so much. Now, the feel, you never get the feel of a race car in iRacing because you're obviously sitting in your own home with your t-shirt and shorts on, and right. No socks, no shoes, and you're just driving a computer simulator. But you do learn a lot. Racecraft is a big one. Strategy is a big one. Saving tires is pretty huge. Just racing in traffic, setting up passes, just everything.
Yeah.
You learn a lot from it, and it gets more and more realistic every time they do a new build, and people are using it more and more. Kyle Larson mentioned this weekend in an interview that he said it didn't really help him that much, but he mentioned, he's like, I've never seen this track. I jumped on iRacing and did a bunch of laps. Like, I mean, they all use it as a tool.
Right.
Most of these teams that when they talk about their simulator, like for example, Alex Bowman, when Dale Earnhardt Jr. had all of his concussions there at the end of his career, and Alex Bowman stepped in, and which ultimately got him his ride with Hendrick, Alex Bowman was their simulator tester. So all he did for Hendrick was he was not in a race car racing form at all. He was just going in and testing their simulator and tweaking setups and stuff. That's all based off from the old game was called NR 2000, whatever year, but NASCAR Racing 2000, 2002, yeah. 2003. That algorithm that Papyrus built back then, and now iRacing's got and tweaked and tweaked and tweaked, all these simulators are built off from that. So that's what we're doing. It cost, if you get your deal on Black Friday, it costs $140-some for the year, and you're racing
a lot.
I mean, you learn. You can learn. I remember any car, when crazy.
I first came over to your house, and I walked in, saw your get up, and I'm like, "What is that?" You're like, "Oh, that's my practice."
Yep.
But like we just talked about how cool it is, and how it's like practice and just a simulator. But when COVID was here and you couldn't race,
yeah,
that's what our NASCAR drivers did. So. Yeah.
And it was huge. It's something. It was on national TV.
Can you imagine? Like, I think that's like our future even.
It is. I really think 100%. As NASCAR continues to go down, it's going down on a downward.
You think so?
I know so.
You know so.
They're getting less and less fans in the stands. Their TV ratings aren't as good as they used to be. I think we are trending towards, I'm not saying that simulation is going to replace real life racing. I hope it never does.
I hope so too.
But it is going to get closer to it. As far as I do think that you're going to start seeing maybe some of these big, I mean, you've seen some of the broadcasters that I've raced in where the races are broadcast. Some of these guys are just as good or close to as guys good as the guys on TV. Maybe they're going to get a deal someday with a streaming company that streams league races.
Some of these commentators who do those live races are really good.
Yep. So, no, I agree. And I don't really remember where I was, but Brendan...
Sorry, I threw you off.
Yeah, it's okay. But regardless, Brendan Butterbean Queen, good buddy, iRacing friend of mine, wins the late model stock race.
So exciting. You called it.
I called it. And not only did he win it, him and his crew had the right strategy. They took tires at the right time there. And, I think it was the next to last caution, maybe they took tires. And he dominated the end of that race. I mean, he was driving away. Nobody else did that throughout the whole race. And then as soon as Brendan in the 03 car got out front, he checked out. And it was just so cool to see my buddy ride up the elevator.
Yeah.
He was yelling and screaming, talking about going to Waffle House. I mean, it's exciting because I've been telling you whether you knew that this was the guy I was talking about or not, because you had never seen him race until this week. But
I haven't seen him race on TV like that or in person, but I've watched him in your Can-Am
Yeah.
Televised.
But I've been telling you here, and my dad a couple times or a few times, and I've shared some of his stuff online because mm-hmm. he had a couple ARCA races there a couple years ago, ended up with a shitbag team, I think, that ended up screwing him over. But I've known he was going places ever yeah. since he started winning some of these big late model races in his family car. And I mean, I'm not just some genius. A lot of other people knew too. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting to see him.
It is exciting. Congratulations.
Yes. Congrats, buddy. Hopefully he listens this week. So that was a late model stock race. Great racing. The other two late model races were really good too. You know, just good racing all around Wednesday night. They ended up doing a triple header because mm-hmm. it rained out Tuesday night, rained out the ASA late model race. They ended up doing three, got them all in, pretty decent timing. Just awesome. Went on to Thursday. They had the hauler parade. I watched a little bit of it, but that's not as exciting to watch behind a screen. That's more of an in-person event. Friday came around. They did the pit crew challenge for the qualifying. That was pretty cool to watch.
That was pretty cool.
It wasn't anything crazy.
No, but I think it's really neat that they incorporate the pit crew like that, because obviously you get to see them change tires in literally seconds.
Yeah.
But actually make them that big of a part in qualifying, that's pretty neat.
Yep.
A lot of them wiped out.
Well, when you're, and, you know, when yeah. you're, when you're giving it 100% and really trying to make time,
yeah.
sometimes, I mean, and they do it, they don't show it every week, but that happens all the time on pit stops when they're trying to hurry, their feet slip out from under them.
And they got a chance to, like, Jimmy Little was down there talking to them and interviewing them.
They won a lot. Ty Gibbs' team won $100,000 to split.
Right.
So, I mean, that was cool.
They were saying that he was the only one down there that knew every one of his pit crew's names. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, they mentioned that a couple times.
I'm not one of his fans by any means, but I thought that was pretty cool.
To be fair, he's a young kid, and his grandfather owns the company, so he probably was around a lot.
Yeah.
Around these guys a lot.
Makes sense.
You know, so.
But still.
It's cool.
It's cool. And it's very, I don't know what I want to say, but it's very neat. I mean, it really looks good for all of them.
Yep.
As far as a pit crew.
I like that they kept it simple.
Yeah.
Years in the past, they did a pit crew challenge, but it was more like an obstacle course. They took the engines and the fuels out of the car, so they were really light. Had the pit crew push them 20 yards.
Dumb.
Then they had to go, like, run around a couple cones, then go change a tire. Like, stupid. Keep it simple, stupid is a phrase that is widely known and used, but it is so true sometimes, especially in events like this. Same with the race. Like, we'll get into that, but they didn't do any of the crazy inverts and stages and stuff. They kept it very simple. When you have a track like that, with the history that it has, the abrasive asphalt that's going to eat up the tires and stuff, you don't need bells and whistles.
No, and I think it's really neat to watch them do their whole pit crew shebang and see how much they can get done in 14 seconds or crazy. Less. I mean, 14 seconds was slow.
Yeah, one thing I kind of told you this weekend that I don't think you knew before is that a lot of those guys are Division One, ex-Division One football players that maybe didn't make it to the NFL, basketball players, maybe soccer, who knows? I mean, just athletes
themselves. Yeah,
you know, back in the 90s, last time we raced at North Wilkesboro, they were all just a bunch of mechanics, you know, that were good with race cars, smoking cigarettes and stuff. Now they're top of the line athletes. I mean, these guys are the real deal.
Right.
So it is cool. It's really nice that they showcase them for the All-Star race.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they're so important, you know, like, I'm sure it's cool for them and all to have a chance to win some money and be able to showcase their talents and have something to do with the qualifying order and stuff, but they are so important when it comes to the real races.
Kyle Busch can't change all four tires and get gas and win a race by himself.
Exactly. And I mean, that is, people don't understand, but like you said, with them falling and stuff, one slip, 2 or 3 seconds on pit road lost because of a slip or a jammed lug nut, or, well, they're not, it's just one lug nut now, but when they used to, or a lug gun fails or something like that, could be 6, 7, 8 seconds on the racetrack. Right. Like, you're out of a race if you have a screw up. So, and how, unless you're Kyle Larson.
Yeah. And how they fall or something like that happens, but it doesn't stop them. They just literally keep going. They don't skip a beat.
Yep.
They're incredible.
And one thing that isn't seen is the work they put in during the week. All week long, including the driver, they usually have one day that the driver's there. The pit crew, that's their job. During the week, they're practicing pit stops and trying to get faster. They don't work on the car. They have mechanics and car chiefs and stuff in the shop. Those pit crew guys just do pit stops. And all week long, their job is to show up at the shop, and they have pit stop practice all week long. And it shows. I mean,
yeah. So if they need something mechanical done and they're under caution, they're going to do something with a car quick. They're the ones who do it, or do they have a mechanic come out and do it?
No. So they do practice like your body work or things that you can change that quick. But
I feel like they're the same people.
Yes. But now that NASCAR went to this 5-minute damage clock, that's really the only work you can do. Now, when they pull the car behind the garage, some of those guys are probably helping, running tools, you know, screwing on nuts and bolts and putting stuff together. But the car chief and mechanics and engineers are there, maybe either telling them what to do if they are mechanically inclined, or they're actually in there doing the work. It's not, your pit crew guys are mostly built for speed and getting those tires on and off and fueled up and out.
Gotcha.
So that was cool for sure.
Yep.
Race fans, thanks for joining us on this podcast. Don't forget that this is not our only podcast that discusses sports news and popular topics. We also have Weems Talks Football that comes out on Thursday mornings. Join us as we dive into everything NFL and even touch on some college football news and noteworthy discussions. We plan to be a trusted source for everything football related and should be good for a few laughs along the way as well. Now, back to Weems Talks Racing. Moving on, Saturday, the first thing we did, we had the truck race. Really good racing. Tire management was key. Really cool to see. This is kind of where using the apron started. Kyle Larson, Bubba Wallace, a lot of those guys were, there's concrete on the apron coming out of turn 4 in North Wilkesboro, and they were turning down, and it's flat down there. But they found out that their tires just grip better on that flat concrete on the bottom, and they were getting runs off the corner. It's cool how they figured that out.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is an ever-running argument in NASCAR history since I've been a NASCAR fan. I don't know how I feel about Cup guys running in this event, at least.
Yeah.
I get why they're doing it, because most of them, Bubba, Kyle, Ross Chastain, these are guys that have never seen North Wilkesboro. I mean, most of the Cup guys haven't. I don't think any of them ever raced at North Wilkesboro in Cup, because we didn't race there when Kevin Harvick came in, and he's like the oldest one. So I like Kyle Larson. He's amazing. He puts fans in the stands.
Yeah.
So I understand why. And listen, in the 90s, more Cup guys raced in the Xfinity series and stuff. Like, they all did. And they all always won those races. It was crazy to see a non-Cup regular not win a Busch Grand National race. Sometimes I just wish, especially on a big weekend like this, it's all-star race. It's not a points event. It's just for $1 million. Sometimes I wish NASCAR would say, okay, for this special weekend, let's keep the Cup guys out of the truck series. Let's let one of these guys like Ty Majeski, another guy I've raced countless races with on iRacing, trying to make a name for himself. Haley Deegan, all these truck series people that are drivers that are trying to further their career. Let's let them fight it out and see who comes out on top. Because don't get me wrong, Kyle Larson is a blast to watch.
Oh, for sure.
He speeds on pit road. He goes to the back of the truck race, drives all the way to the front, and beats him at the end.
He's so good. He's very
talented.
And
that is fun to watch.
Yeah.
But I almost think that if he wasn't there, if you take him, Bubba, Chastain out of the equation, we might have seen like beating and banging to the finish line and, you know, more passes and crazy racing. Like you just, they tend to, and don't get me wrong, races can be good when they're in it, but more often than not, they stink up the show.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we went to Richmond?
Yep.
And Kyle Busch did that. He stunk up. He
was literally booed by everyone in the stands.
Well, he won the Xfinity race by, I think he did a lot like what happened in the Cup race where there was only like 10 cars left on the lead lap. Like he just stunk up the show and there was no caution. So it was just, oh, let's watch Kyle Busch beat up on a bunch of 18, 19, 20 year olds that are trying to make a name for themselves. That's where it gets a little hairy, but either way, Kyle Larson, this is just the start of his weekend. Amazing job. Ty Majeski came second. He took two tires. He hung on there. Bubba Wallace took third. Didn't get tires. He was kind of a roadblock, but he did a good job keeping the truck up there and taking third. After the truck race.
I didn't watch the truck race.
You did not. And Larson wins. He's doing his victory celebration. He gets out of the truck. And the fans are going insane booing. Well, after the race in the media, Larson's asked, so what did you think about the fans booing? Like, were they booing you? Do you think they're booing you because you just dominated a truck race? Maybe you don't belong down there. And Larson says, no, they were booing Bubba. His exact words were, no, they were booing Bubba. Poor Bubba. I feel bad. So, as this is the start of Larson's big weekend, it's also a start of a really rough weekend for Bubba Wallace.
You know what, though? He kind of brings it on himself anymore.
We will get into that for sure. So, we've been through the Pit Crew Challenge. Josh Berry, the All-Star Open, is next. We didn't talk about the heats. Not much excitement there. They knew that they weren't going to run that hard. It was kind of just to line up the race and a couple good races, but nothing crazy. We get to the All-Star Open. Another pick that came true. I picked Josh Berry as one of my winners of the Open last week. Lo and behold, he wins the race. Ty Gibbs finished the second. They both locked themselves in on the racetrack. Noah Gregson, to my surprise, gets the fan vote. I thought it was going to be Corey LaJoie. I did see that Noah had some, which, I mean, it's all fair game. He had his PR people going around giving out pins that said vote for Noah and stuff like that. But I think that he probably got a big chunk of the vote from his little incident with Ross Chastain a couple weeks ago. Because Ross is kind of the...
Yeah.
You know, the one that everybody likes to hate right now, besides Bubba, fair. I guess. But yeah, so Noah gets the fan vote. Unfortunately for Noah, he wrecks his car in the open. He gets caught up in something that wasn't really his, or no, it was his mess, actually, now that I think about it. Noah was trying to pass somebody on the inside tight at turn four, turns down too quick, bounces his car off the inside wall, comes back up, wrecks a bunch of people. Ryan Newman's involved. I really wanted to see how Newman would come through.
Oh, yeah. He hasn't been racing, has he?
No, he's just been back a couple races, but it is cool to see him back. But so Noah causes that wreck, wrecks up his car. He's not, although he gets into the All-Star race, not much of a factor because he's got a beat-up race car. I mean, there was nothing he could do. Those three get in. One note that I have from the All-Star Open is Ty Gibbs almost screwed up and didn't finish the race, didn't make it into the Open because him and Michael McDowell were racing early on in the race. They were both, you know, trying to make their way up through the field. They both had gotten to the back. I don't know if they took tires or not, but because Gibbs started on the pole, his crew had the fastest pit stop in the Pit Crew Challenge, so they must have gotten back there somewhere or another. But Ty Gibbs knocks Michael McDowell out of the way, drives on. Well, Michael McDowell is getting lapped later in the race. Now, I don't know if he was kind of just taking it easy waiting on Ty or if he just wasn't that good, but when Ty comes around to lap McDowell, Ty gets underneath him and McDowell squeezes his ass down into the fence.
Oh, dear.
He Ty Gibbs was actually leading the race at this point. This lets Josh Berry get by, and ultimately Josh Berry wins because of it. But Ty Gibbs is lucky that McDowell didn't completely clean him out, because he was trying to.
McDowell, now he's a seasoned driver.
Yep. Yeah. Yep, he is. He drives the 34 car in the Cup Series. Won the Daytona 500 last year or 2 years ago. But, yeah, Michael McDowell wasn't too happy. But Ty Gibbs, he makes his way in there. Also not really a factor. Not that anybody but Larson was in the big race. We get to the All-Star race. And unfortunately, the biggest race of the weekend is by far the worst race of the weekend.
Yeah, snooze fest.
I was so excited.
Yeah, you dozed down and off watching it.
I did. At the end, I watched, I mean, I saw, I would say, of the 200 laps, I watched 180 of them.
Yeah.
I dozed off here and there. How could you not? It was, Larson stunk up the show. Once again, much like the truck race, he goes down pit road and speeds and gets sent to the back.
Yep.
And he still laps everybody but the top 10 and just wins the race by 8 seconds. So
can't help when you're that good.
That's the thing. He's just, it's very easy to complain that the racing's bad. And I am going to go over in this episode, maybe some things that I would tweak if I were the race director in NASCAR for short track purposes. But at the same time, you just have to appreciate the talent. When Larson has a, when his crew gives him a good car, because Larson's one of the guys, and there are more and more racers are like this now. In the 90s, all the race car drivers worked on their car. They knew every piece of that car. Now we're starting to lean to these guys that just get in and drive. Some of them, like your William Byrons, he just, daddy's money kind of got him in. Not taking anything away from him.
Yeah.
But he got to NASCAR because of money, doesn't really work on the cars, doesn't show up at the shop. Larson's that guy.
Yeah.
He will straight up admit, I don't know anything about working on these cars. But you have to appreciate, the kid can just get in anything. And if he is even close to hooked up that night, he's tough to beat.
Yeah.
I mean, so at first when I saw this, I was just kind of, like I said, I was really excited about the race, and I was kind of mumbling, grumbling about how, oh, NASCAR should do this and NASCAR should do that, and this package sucks and I hate this new car. But as I looked back, and I mean, as I do, I'm now a podcast host for a NASCAR show, so I actually do some studying. I dig. I go further than watching the race. I do a lot of study and write notes.
Oh, for anyone listening, he really does.
Yeah, we have. I write a lot of notes.
He really does.
Thank God for the notes app and my iPhone. I watched the NASCAR Radioactive today, which is where they go in and they take all like the best clips from the radio chatter throughout the week. It wasn't as much this new car in the package as I thought it was. There's still some things I would tweak. But a lot of this was, Larson was just dominant. Everybody else was going through tire wear issues, bad handling cars, everything we wanted and knew that would make North Wilkesboro such a good race.
Yeah.
The rest of the field was going through all that. Just Larson was so good and hooked up and had the best line, and he just checked every box.
Yeah.
And that's, you can't beat it when that happens. So I did. I was mad at how the race went first. I was thankful that we had it and that NASCAR tried something new, but I was kind of let down because I was afraid that it didn't make out like it should have, and that was going to hurt everybody's excitement about this week. But the more I looked into it, the more I saw that it wasn't just the package and the car. It was, Larson was just dominant.
He's just good. When you're good, you're good.
My bets didn't really go well. I didn't bet Larson. Larson's odds, honestly, Larson had like one of the better odds to win. So
I always bet Larson.
Well, I try, especially in NASCAR, if you hit, so I bet Byron because he's been so dominant this year.
Yep.
Truex because he's been pretty good at short tracks lately, and he had like he was like plus 1,000 in the betting tree. And then I threw $5 on Chris Buescher because he looked fast all week, and FanDuel never adjusted his odds, so he was like plus 2,500. So I was like, man, I can put $5 on Chris Buescher, and if he dominates like he did in his heat race,
yeah,
I'm gonna win $300, $200. Yeah. This is, I mean, that's worth it. None of the guys won. I didn't win the bets. No big deal. Some other little notes from the All-Star race I have. Shocker of the night. Ricky Stenhouse spins, brings out the first caution. I mean, poor Ricky. He just wrecks a lot. I mean, to wreck as much as he does and have the first name Ricky. I wonder if he started to call himself Wrecky.
Wrecky.
it's too easy.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy wrecks a lot. So why not just Wrecky? Just change your name on your birth certificate, your driver's license. Just change it. That's your name.
He's a riot, though.
He's cool. I like Wrecky. He's a dirt track guy. Yeah. He's a down-to-earth good guy.
I don't know what it was I was watching, but he did the Pico Hot Chip Challenge.
Yeah.
Him. And someone else, I can't remember, but he was hysterical. He was, like, dying. We here at Saloon Door Sports are continuously looking to grow our content capabilities. If you or someone you know is looking to purchase ad space and get in on the ground floor with an ever-growing podcast station, look no further than right here. For rates and ad structure deals, message us on Facebook at Our Time to Talk page or join the Weems Talk Sports group and send us a message. If you know us and would like to get a hold of us personally, you can message us on any social media outlet or seek us out for other content information. We would love to have you on board and join the family. We hope you enjoy the rest of the podcast.
So that's how the All-Star race went down. Let's dive into Bubba Wallace here. He gets booed. They ask him why he gets booed. He pretty much says... And one, I don't remember his exact words, but he pretty much says in one way or another, like, it's just different. Somebody asked him, is it motivating? Like, are you to the point where, like, it's just funny? Like, you just like to hear the boos? And I thought Bubba was going to say, yeah, you know, like, it's a joke. You know, if they're making, you know, the cliche sayings, like, as long as they're making noise, you know, right, it's a good thing. Because Bubba said stuff like that before, but this time he was a little different, and he said, you know, when you get here, it's different. And I don't know if he meant because he was at home, because it's everybody's home track, so maybe he... I didn't think the boos were that bad in driver intros. I thought he got a pretty good mix of cheers and boos.
I was going to say, I feel like everyone gets boos.
He does. And Kyle Busch has been getting them for years.
Oh, he welcomes them.
But I think Bubba has that chip on his shoulder ever since the Talladega, the rope from his garage door thing. I just think that he has this chip on his shoulder that he thinks he's a likable guy. And I think he's a likable guy. Like, I'll be honest, I've been a Bubba Wallace. Not supporter, like I don't root for the guy heavily, but I always have wanted him to see him do well.
For him, yeah.
Because whether you like it or not, NASCAR needs Bubba Wallace's and Daniel Suarez, because if it's just 40 white guys with a Southern accent racing every week, the sport doesn't grow.
Yeah.
You need the diversity program and these new women, different ethnicities. It's just, it's so much better. At the end of the day, so many people will never admit this because hard-headed, old-school NASCAR fans just cannot stand to see a black guy run in NASCAR, especially when, because let's be honest, Bubba does make some dumb mistakes.
He does, and I've always been a Bubba fan, but recently I struggle with some of his things that he's done or said.
And this is how I look at it. He's, first of all, he's a kid still.
He is.
I mean, he's in his 20s.
Right.
Which you have to grow up. I mean, you're a big boy. You're on TV. You have to be smart. He does make
a role model.
He does make a lot of mistakes. He's really hard on himself. But I am a big listener to Door Bumper Clear, which is a spotter, three spotters on Dale Jr.'s channel for podcasts. And I guess just I really like Freddie Kraft, who is Bubba's spotter. And the way he talks about Bubba, you get a different sense of who the guy is. And I've watched Bubba ever since he was racing K&N against Larson and Chase and Blaney. So I know I've seen more of Bubba than some people. And he is a good down-to-earth. He's just like Blaney and Chase. Like,
well, they're
just
friends.
They are. And he's just... he gets a bad light. Whether if you want to admit you don't like him for whatever reason, you don't like him. He's not, to me, he's not that bad.
No.
Like, I like the guy. And I want to see him do well.
I just think some of his actions in the recent days have just been, I look at him as your role model. I mean, Cole loves Bubba Wallace, but some of the things that he does or says, I'm like, that's not really...
And that brings
us role model behavior.
That brings us to Sunday night and the mistake he made that, of course, because this is another thing.
A mistake. And that's what they are. They are young.
And so many other drivers have flipped people off on camera before. And it's funny.
Said worse.
Like I said on one Facebook post this week, if this was Dale Jr., Martin Truex, Josh Berry, Chase Elliott, when he gave the double birds a few years ago to Kyle Busch when he wrecked him.
That was the best thing ever.
Exactly. Everybody was like, oh, you're one of us, one of us, one of us. You know, like, oh, they're just like we are. They flip their buddies off when they're having fun. They flip people off when they're mad. They get caught by the camera, but they're okay. But now, Bubba, the story came out a couple days later, of course. His manager gets on Twitter and says, everybody relax. I was standing making faces at Bubba on the side of the camera. And that's who Bubba gave the finger to, was his manager. So he was doing it as like a joke to his buddy.
Just happened to be caught on camera.
And everybody's like, oh, Bubba should be suspended. He flipped off the camera. He should be banned for life. No, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, okay, he made a mistake. And I'm sure... because he is very hard on himself, whether you want to admit that or not, he does take responsibility for some of the stuff he does. I mean, it was just 5 or 6 weeks back when he had a shitty race and he got out of the car and was like, they probably should just fire me because I'm just not doing good enough. Bubba has a lot of pressure on him because he's in a good car now. And there's no reason for him not to be running well.
He's been running in the front, though. He's
and I was just going to say, I say everything I just said to say this. Look what Bubba did this weekend. Mm-hmm. Look past the mistakes he made and how you feel about him. If Kyle Larson isn't there this weekend, Bubba Wallace takes second in the truck race on an old set of tires in front of a bunch of people who had brand new stickers on.
Yeah.
And he wins $1 million in the All-Star race.
Yep.
And Tyler Reddick took third in that All-Star race, and he was not close to catching Bubba Wallace. So if Kyle Larson is not there, or Kyle Larson makes another mistake on pit road, or gets involved in a wreck early on or something, Bubba Wallace wins the All-Star race by 3 seconds.
Yep.
Then what? Then what are people saying?
Yeah.
Are they saying how shitty Bubba is, how he doesn't deserve his ride, how he sucks? How he doesn't deserve to be in NASCAR, how he played the race card to get there. No, they're saying, wow, Bubba Wallace stopped the show at North Wilkesboro. So I think sometimes people just need to relax.
Yeah.
Take a chill pill. Look at the big picture. Don't just look at a guy who is, and it was stupid. Don't get me wrong, because he didn't, if I'm flipping off my buddies in public, I'm like pretending I'm itching my nose.
Right. It was not itching his nose.
It wasn't. He just straight up gave the guy the finger. But I'm impressed with Bubba this week. I really was impressed by how he ran up front in the truck race. Now, I'm a Haley Deegan fan. I've said it before on here. I want her to do well. she ran that same truck that Bubba ran this week, and she took like one, I think she finished sixth once, or maybe had a top five, and then maybe two top tens last year. The rest of the time, she finished 15th to 25th in it. Bubba Wallace gets in this truck twice this year, and he's ran up front and almost won both races. Mm-hmm. And then he gets in the All-Star race. Everybody knows the meaning of All-Star.
Yeah.
That's the best of the best. Goes out there and finishes second to Kyle Larson, who is the best, in my opinion.
He really is.
And the closest one to him was Tyler Reddick, who was another person I bet on and had picked this week because I thought he'd do well by 3 seconds. So Bubba Wallace is, first of all, a lot better than all of his haters want to think that he is or want to admit. And two, I hate to tell you haters this, he's going to be around for a long time.
He is.
He has a ton of sponsors. Everybody wants to be on his race car. Jimmy Johnson just came into the, Denny Hamlin signed him to a team that is brand new and is going to be around for a very long time.
Yep.
Michael Jordan is a co-owner of the team. I think he's like maybe the third African-American owner in NASCAR. He ain't going anywhere until the day he dies. So,
and they have the money to back it.
Take your medicine because you're going to get a lot of Bubba Wallace over the next 20 years.
I would just like him to, be better with his crybabiness.
And he will.
He will.
He's going to mature.
He will.
He's 27 years old. I mean, he's going to learn from all these stupid things that he does.
I'd hate to see him turn into the perception of Kyle Busch.
But look at Kyle Busch now.
I know. And I think
he gets more cheers than boos now.
He does. And I think it's because, like you had said last week, you have seen him in a different light.
Yep.
And you're not the only one who's seen him in a different light. I think when you see someone as a dad and just really themselves, it's just you have a different visual of them.
When people open up and see the big picture of who somebody really is instead of who they want to think they are.
Yeah.
And I was guilty of this with Kyle Busch.
Oh, for sure.
I hated him for years. When you open up and you see that these people are down to earth, providing for a family, raising children, and just normal people who get to live out their dreams every day that we all would love to be doing, maybe, you see a little, maybe it's a little different in the way you see them. So that's the Bubba Wallace talk for this week. I think that he's probably going to win a race this year.
Probably.
He's been on a roll, he's not going to win one because of a rain delay. Or a late caution.
That's why he won one last year, right?
He's going to win a race.
Yeah.
And he, like I said, he's going to be around for a long time. And hate to tell y'all, but he's in a good race car. So he's going to be running up front too. He's not Bubba Wallace that was in the 43 that's 20th every week. He's going to be up front. And he's a good race car driver.
He is.
When it comes down to it, he's not the best race car driver. But he's getting better. So You better get used to seeing them.
Oh my gosh, what a dumbass.
Coley, you can't be swearing. What did you say?
I'm sorry, Dad. That was very stupid.
This first one we're going to do, we're going to call it the dumbass of the week. And I have a really good one. And I had a few that we're going to go here, changed them out, flipped them here and there. What'd you say?
I can't wait.
So, my dumbass of the week, We're gonna shy away from NASCAR on this one, and we're gonna go to a late model race in Hickory, North Carolina, that was happening this past weekend.
Okay.
Landon Huffman, really good race car driver, coming up through the late model ranks. He ran in the Cars Tour race Wednesday night. Went home. He's a YouTuber, so he vlogs everything, and you get to see his whole late model program and how it goes. Well, he's running in this race with a girl who is also running a late model in the race. Her name is Annabeth Barnes. Annabeth, you're a dumbass. And you're my dumbass. Actually, Landon called her a dumb bee.
Oh,
but I'm just going to call her a dumbass. So, to set the stage a little, Annabeth,
Sounds like Little House on the Prairie name.
Yeah. the funny thing is I watched, and you might have seen it with me because it was right when we got together. I watched they did like an hour and a half movie documentary special on kids. They were 12 years old at the time. This was 10 years ago, or maybe even more, that were racing go-karts on the national level. And Anna Beth Barnes was one of the stars of this documentary.
Really?
So I've been rooting for her.
Yeah.
I've been kind of like following her career, watching her come up through. She hasn't really had that many good runs. She's won a couple late model races. She married Jake Crum, who was a modified racer, just a local Hickory modified racer. He doesn't do anything on the national level. But anyways, Anna Beth, they have here at Hickory this weekend, they had twin 40 late model races. So they ran one 40 lap race. However you finished in that one, they inverted the field or inverted the top 10 or whatever. So whoever finished 10th in the first race started first, 9th, 2nd, 8th, 3rd, so on and so forth.
Yep.
Anna Beth, from what Landon Huffman said, now I only saw his side of the story, but I don't even want to hear her side because I saw enough. Landon says that every time they do these twin 40s, Anna Beth plays the invert. So she sandbags. They probably tell them before the race how many cars are going to be inverted. She sandbags, say it's 10, she finishes 9th or 10th on purpose so she can start on the front row of the second race. She does that. Second 40-lap race for the late models at Hickory comes around. She's either started first or second, I'm not sure, but the whole race for 35 laps, she runs second, and she is driving like an asshole. She's slow. She's blocking, holding guys up, running into them if they try to pass her.
Oh, dear.
The leader's driving away because she's doing all this nonsense to the faster cars behind her. Well, with five to go,
she didn't get black flagged?
They don't black flag you for that unless you like legitimately wreck someone. Uh-huh. She was just kind of like dooring them, cutting their nose off, and they were all trying not to wreck her, just pass her clean
what a
because.
Jerk.
99% of race car drivers don't want to mess up their shit. So, but Annabeth, Landon Huffman with five laps to go, tries to take it three wide on the outside because she's so slow. And they have spotters, so she knew he was there. She pinches him in the fence. That's in turn one and two. Landon comes back down into turn three, gives Annabeth a shot to the back bumper, bumps her up out of the way, doesn't wreck her, doesn't spin her out, nothing. Goes by her on the inside. Annabeth gets pissed, tries to right rear Landon, turns left and tries to right rear him so he goes head on into the outside wall, completely misses, spins herself out. Caution flies. Caution comes out. Annabeth gets her car turned back around. Full speed, drives around the whole track. Everybody else is under caution. Never lifts, drives right into the right side of Landon's car at full speed. He slowed down for the caution. She completely destroys his whole right side of his car, destroys her car, which didn't get a scratch on it from the spin out. So her car was still good. Came around, just destroyed his car. Well, while all of this is going on, apparently her husband, who is spotting for her up in the tower, runs from one end of the spotter stand to the other to where Landon's dad is standing and jumps this 60-some-year-old man. He's probably in his late 20s.
Oh, my gosh.
Clotheslines him from behind, hits him in the back of the head, tries to throw him over the spotter stand that's 50-some feet in the air. Finally, they get broken up. Landon's dad press charges on him and stuff.
I hope so.
Just an honestly, there's just no place for this shit in racing. It's one thing if you get bumping on the track and maybe you dump somebody or even, you know, I hate to see it, but sometimes like at Bowman Gray, especially it happens. But like, if you can't catch up to a guy to retaliate, sometimes you'll wait on him. Maybe like what Michael McDowell did to Ty Gibbs.
But that's a little bit cleaner than just.
That's one thing to settle on the racetrack.
Down.
Yeah. But to do it under caution, like she did, for her husband to jump his father, an older man up in the stands and
tried
like
to throw him over.
Yeah. And then when he got him on the ground, there's a clear video that a fan took because he was like right next to the spotter tower. The guy gets Huffman's dad on the ground and starts stomping on him until guys pull him off. I mean, just, and you know what I hate the most about it and why she probably raised my eyebrow and got this dumbass of the week. all of their social media, all of her interviews, all of their flyers they make, all of their sponsors they have are all promoting Christianity.
Oh, yeah.
And how, you know, God's everything to me. I did all this for God. He's gotten me here. Just constantly promoting Christianity, which is great. But to do that and then do this makes me want to throw up. Because, like I said, there's no place for it in racing.
Right.
And then to paint yourself as this goody-two-shoe, church-going, God-fearing Christian, and then to have your husband jump somebody from behind, try to kill somebody in a race
car. And jumped him? Like, they hadn't even had an altercation or words exchanged?
Wow. So, it came...
still spotting.
So, it came out, yes, it came out, like... Obviously, I told the story in chronological order of how it went if you were just a bystander at the racetrack watching or whatever. But what actually happened is this guy jumped Landon's dad the minute she spun out. Like before she even came around and hit Landon under caution.
Oh, wow.
As soon as she tried to wreck Landon and spun herself out, like right after Landon bumped her out of the way, maybe even before she spun out, he was running down to beat up and jump Landon's dad.
That's wild.
It's just uncalled for, really. Like, there's one thing I'm all for. You know, a big topic in the last couple of weeks in NASCAR is asking all the drivers if they think that security should let a fight go, like in the Noah and Ross situation. Like, if they should let them get a couple punches in, because what they were saying is it wasn't fair that Noah grabbed Ross, Ross threw a punch and landed it, and then Noah was about to throw a punch back and got stopped. So it looks like Ross won the fight, but really Noah didn't get a chance.
Right.
I don't really know how I feel about it. I've always been somebody, like, once in a while, I would be for, like, hockey-style resolvement. Right. Like, you know, let them fight for 10 or 15 you know seconds. Like? When they go to the ground, pull them apart.
Well, I don't like it. I think it's a disadvantage if you're going to go punch someone and you don't take your helmet off. At least take your helmet off so that they can retaliate and you can be a real man.
I agree. I've actually... I've been in some altercations myself in pits at racetracks, and
it gets heated.
It does, and there's a lot of emotion.
Yeah,
it's understandable.
Adrenaline.
But this is where I draw the line. When you're obviously trying to injure someone, you're not just mad and want to get in a fist fight, but when you're trying to jump someone from behind when they're not looking. Hit them at full throttle under caution with your car. That's dangerous. That's, you can really hurt somebody.
Oh, for sure.
And that's what doesn't belong in racing.
I agree.
If two drivers are pissed at each other, being them both male or both female, whatever have you, and they want to throw a couple punches because they're pissed off at each other, I'm okay with that.
Right.
Get the emotions out, let them handle it like adults. And that's that. But this jump in, I've seen people like run to people in pits and tracks around here, bring a crowbar to the fight. Jack at Chemung a few years ago, one of the guys was throwing like jack handles and wrenches, like weapons and stuff like that. That is chicken shit.
Was it not last year? 2 years ago, there was that huge fight. Remember when Cole and I came in the pits to tell you good job, Daddy, and then went home?
Mm-hmm.
And that guy's, was it colostomy bag, was ripped out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Just wild. He drove his car right into a crowd of people.
Yep. Stuff like that. There's not definitely necessary. A fine line when it comes to emotion, because I understand that you lose control. But there's also a thick line when it comes to, you can really tell when someone's trying to kill somebody or injure somebody, sure, rather than just emotionally frustrated and wanting to fight.
Right.
Big difference. So.
So now will they get fined?
Something's going to happen.
I hope so.
First of all, Landon's dad pressed charges. The charges were upheld. They took him into custody. He posted bond right away, so he got out, but there will be charges that are drawn out.
And this video up. We'll have to share it on our page.
For sure. We'll share it on the page. I didn't share it yet, but we'll share it. But there's going to be some penalties, for sure.
I hope so.
So that's the dumbass of the week. The next one I have, the next segment we have is the slowpoke of the week. This one goes to good old Kyle Busch. Where in the hell were you, Kyle? This guy, there was 24 cars that started the race. Ricky Stenhouse spun out early, went a lap down. He was a non-factor. Noah Gregson's car was junk. He was going to be a non-factor no matter what. Other than those two, Kyle Busch ran last almost all 200 laps.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe he just wasn't feeling good.
Crazy. But
maybe he had to go to the bathroom and he was focusing on that and just couldn't hit his gas pedal.
Maybe. But like I said, I've kind of started to like Kyle throughout the years, so yeah. I don't get as much pleasure out of seeing him suck so bad, but he sucked. And I listening to the Radioactive, like, he was just bitching his car, I guess, was handling terrible and just couldn't go anywhere, which was obvious because he ended up two laps down, big time non-factor. I want to go back into why I think that maybe the All-Star race wasn't as exciting as we all hoped and thought it should be.
Okay.
We obviously talked about how dominant Kyle Larson was. He hit the setup perfect, ran a perfect line. That was the main reason, I think. But to go a little deeper, there are some things that I think NASCAR could tweak that would make short track racing a lot better. Now, I think that this new car and package is coming around when it comes to the super speedway races, Daytona Talladega type thing. Atlanta gets to get put in that category now because they ruined that track. But then, and the mile and a half stuff. This package has put on some really good racing at times. Sometimes the show's a stinker, and that's just racing.
Yeah.
Some people have forgotten that a lot of times in the 70s, 80s, 90s, back when quote-unquote NASCAR's heyday, when the racing was excellent and everybody was into the show and stuff, there was times where Richard Petty, Dale Earnhardt, Jeff Bodine, Darrell Waltrip lapped the whole field.
Really?
Like, there was races where nobody was on the lead lap or maybe just three or four cars, and the race was so drawn out and the top two or three guys were so good that it wasn't a race at all.
Yeah.
So, like, you have to remember that in racing, sometimes this stuff just happens. Sometimes some guys hit it and some guys don't, and that makes for not such a competitive race, and that's just what we get. Now, there are some things that I think we could do. One of them being the horsepower issue. I understand that NASCAR took these engines down in horsepower, one, to save teams money, and two, for safety reasons, because they didn't want them going as fast on your bigger tracks and stuff.
Makes sense.
Agree with it. 100%.
Yeah.
I agree. But I also think, and they tried this a couple years ago, and I'm not sure why they went away from it, I also think that these teams nowadays, especially with the charters, they have 5, 6, 7, 20, 30, depending on how much money they have, different engines. Uh-huh. In the shop. So why not take 5 or 6 of those 550 horsepower engines out and have some 750 horsepower engines around for a short track race?
Makes sense.
Just run the high horsepower on short tracks. That makes short track racing so much better. The fact of the matter is this weekend, NASCAR made the All-Star race the last 100 laps was supposed to be exciting because they only gave this crews one set of tires to change in the pits.
Yeah.
So their thought was these tires are going to get so bad on this abrasive track that they're going to struggle with one set of tire in the pits and it's going to make for great racing. Well, guess what? We had no cautions in the last 100 laps and they ran the last 100 laps on the same set. They didn't even use the ones in the pits.
So no one changed tires at all?
No one changed tires, and Kyle Larson's still pulling away by 8-9 seconds. So if they had 750 horsepower instead of 550, and they stepped on the gas pedal to come out of these corners, and they were spinning every single time, No way those tires made it.
No, what if they increased the laps so there was more tear on them?
I mean, you could have done that. Yeah. But the All-Star race is supposed to be short. It's gotcha. Not supposed to be, you know. Long. But still, say it's not the All-Star race. Say it's Richmond later in the year. Even if they increase the laps, they're not going to say you can't have that many sets of tires. Right. So you're going to be able to change tires and the tires are just never going to fall off. The horsepower is problem number one. Problem number two are the tires themselves. NASCAR went, when they got this new car in, they went to these 10-inch wide tires. They used to run 8.
Okay.
8-inch wide. Now they run 10-inch wide. So the grip is twice as much. Goodyear is making these tires so hard and long-lasting that there's not much fall off. They fly through the corners. Their speed is way too high, which also would be fixed by horsepower.
That sounds dangerous.
Well, it's not, though, because we've done it for years and there's not been a problem.
Yeah.
What you have to understand is these cars are like slot cars. I've said it before. They have such less horsepower that they're going slower down the straightaways than usual. And they're going too fast through the corners is the problem. Mm-hmm. That's why they can't pass. Because the slower you have to go through a corner. That's why Martinsville is always such a great race. Yeah. Usually, even this car has ruined Martinsville, but
I want to go there.
When you slow down to, when you're going 130 on the straightaways and 45 through the corners,
yeah.
There's so much room for error and mistake, which creates passing. This 550 horsepower package, they get the pedal to the metal down the straightaway, and then they don't have to lift and brake as much to the corners, which makes the tire last longer, makes for worse racing, blah, 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 blah. So I really just wish that NASCAR would go 750 horsepower for short tracks and change the tire. Don't run these 10-inch modified late model tires that last four times as long.
Do you think never go blister. Back?
Yeah, I think they'll change something.
Yeah.
If you ask what my real dream is, is for the short tracks, go back to the chassis of before.
Yeah.
We're learning this on iRacing right now. iRacing did a boo-boo a few builds back. They didn't mean to do it, apparently, but they added a high horsepower package to the old ARCA cars.
Really?
Which is, it's called the Gen 4 cars, which is the chassis that NASCAR ran from 1992 to 2007. That was like the best years of NASCAR as far as competitive racing went. I'm excited for you to see it. I'm excited for my dad. I'm going to be starting a league. Hopefully you guys will all be in it. We have some announcements later on that we'll talk about as far as the podcasting goes that have to do with this racing league. But I'm going to be in a league starting in September, October range where we're going to run these Gen 4 chassis, the old chassis with high horsepower. The racing is spectacular.
Yeah.
It's so hard to drive. You're constantly worried about spinning your tires, which means you're constantly worried about wearing your tires out too quick. You really have to be managing your stuff. And that's what NASCAR is missing.
Mm-hmm.
You go to these short tracks, and nobody has to save. They're going through the corners too fast. No passing. Everything I just said. I don't need to repeat it again. I have not listened to Door Bumper Clear and the Dale Jr. download this week. I probably will tomorrow. Especially Dale Jr. because he vlogged his stuff this weekend, which was a pretty cool vlog. I wish he would do it more often. Because Jr. is just a cool guy.
Yeah.
But at the end of his vlog, he smiled at the camera and he said, I have some thoughts. So I'm excited to see what he says will, you know, help this. And I have a feeling that it's going to be a lot like what I just said, because I've been hearing it. Door Bumper Clear and Dale Jr. guys have been talking about this. The same things I just said with the horsepower and the tire. So you're going to get stinker races like we had in racing. I just wish there was less of them. It kind of seems like this car is a little more of a boring product.
Mm-hmm.
And it really sucks on a week like this because the rest of the racing was amazing. So for that last big shebang, the big race for $1 million, for me to be falling asleep in my chair after literally all day Sunday, I'm like counting down the hours and minutes.
Yeah, you watched all weekend.
So for all that weekend to happen is just, it hurts. It hurts, but I do have faith. NASCAR, listen, if there's anything that's for sure, NASCAR doesn't want to lose all its fans and shit. So they're going to do whatever they got to do to fix this. It's just, I guess what I don't understand is if I've heard this and other people are talking about this and other people have heard this, NASCAR has had to have heard it. Yeah. So, like, when are they going to? I feel like
some of the drivers have probably voiced their opinion on it as well.
For sure. For sure. So, that does it for my notes for this week. Just real quick here to end out the episode. Next week, we have the big Memorial Day weekend spectacular, the big Coca-Cola 600, the longest race of the year. It big pairs, track. Yes. Well, Charlotte. So, yeah, mile and a half. But it's just, it's a 600-mile race, 400 laps.
Yeah.
It's on Memorial Day weekend every year. It pairs with the Indy 500 every year. So Indy 500 will be going on to Indianapolis, which I'm sure we'll touch on that next week too, because that's obviously one of the biggest races in the world. I'm not sure if anybody's doing double duty this year. I know Larson's running them both next year. So that'll be cool.
Yeah.
Because if he goes out and wins the Indy 500, people, holy shit.
Right.
He might as well retire. He's done it all. But anyways, Coke 600 is one of my favorite races of the year for a lot of reasons. It's an endurance race. It's a long, long race. They have four stages instead of the normal three because of the length.
Yep.
Martin Truex is really good at this track. When we were at the beach a few years ago in the Outer Banks is when this race happened. And Truex dominated the field, led almost all 600 or all, 600 miles, 400 laps.
Kyle Busch is good here too, isn't he?
Kyle Busch is good here too. He's won some all-star races. Oh, one thing I did want to say, I did post this on the page this week, but for anybody that didn't know, Kyle Larson is the first and maybe the only forever person to win three all-star races at three different tracks. He's now won Charlotte, Texas, and North Wilkesboro.
Young money.
So that was a cool little thing. Yeah. Did you see the post I made today where he was listening to A Millie by Lil Wayne? And he's like, oh, just Young Money listening to A Millie by Young Money. It's pretty cool. He won a million, so it makes sense.
It does make sense.
But no, I do. Back to Charlotte. I do. I like Martin Truex as a betting odd this weekend. I think he will be good. I probably will go with one of the Hendrick guys, depending on how they practice Saturday.
Denny, do you think?
Not one of Denny's best tracks. Nope. Denny's a short track guy.
He is.
And he's a super speedway guy. The mile and a halfs, he's not my go-to. He's won them.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But I might sprinkle some on Bubba.
Yeah.
This might be a storyline coming into this, and Bubba might just,
I'm probably going to say Kyle Busch. I'm going to go with Kyle Busch. That was my instinct.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I think Larson's on a roll.
Oh, for sure.
So it would not shock me at all for him to lead 400 laps and beat him by 10 seconds and put us all to sleep again.
It wouldn't surprise me either. He's good at almost every single track, but I feel like he does very, very well at road courses and small tracks. He's insanely good.
He does really good at road courses. He does really good at the short tracks. He does really good at the racetracks where you got to run up against the wall, like Darlington, Kentucky, Kansas. Charlotte's one of those racetracks that's got a few different lines. Larson will be searching for grip. He'll be fast.
Yeah.
The thing about Larson is, as you know, my dad's been a fan of Larson since he came into cup racing. So I talk a lot about racing with my dad. He's, we've raced together since I was six.
Yep.
We've always been race buddies. Every NASCAR race we've ever been to, we stood next to each other. Every race we've ever been to, we've stood next to each other. We talk racing. That's what we do. I've always said Larson's biggest problem is he hasn't learned how to save his tires and not be aggressive all the time. He's found that now.
He has.
Ever since he got in trouble for the stuff on iRacing and had to take a year off, he has come back and he has matured so much as a driver. He was great before.
Yeah.
Still one of the best before. But now Larson, mature, knowing when to hit the go button and when to hold up on it a little, he's scary.
He is. I mean, the year he came back, he won 5 races and then won the championship.
Yep.
He was untouchable. And yep. He's been untouchable since.
Last year, he had a lot of bad luck.
Yeah.
Probably could have won it again. This year, he's on track to just blow him away. So, yep. Him and Willie B. So, either way, hope you guys all enjoyed. I'm excited for Charlotte this weekend.
Yes.
We'll for sure be back next Thursday. Yep. Right on cue with another episode talking about the weekend of racing that we've had. And we'll keep them coming. As long as you guys are there to listen, we'll be here to talk. So, we appreciate you once again. Please tell a friend. Word of mouth is the biggest way to grow this. It's something we want to do for a long time for you guys. So, get the word out. Yep. Anybody who's a race fan, tell them. Tell them to give it a chance. If they hate it and they listen once, so be it. But if they latch on and stay with us forever, that's awesome too. Yep.
Like and review.
Yep. Like and review. You know, follow the stuff so you get your, you know, your notifications to your phones and emails and stuff like that. And I haven't said this, I don't think, on this podcast yet, but please feel free to like message our page.
Yeah.
And ask us a question that you would like to hear. We would love to have a fan question segment, and I think we will eventually.
Yep.
But why not be the first one, you know? Message the page, ask us, tell us to talk about something, tell us you want to hear our opinion on it. We will put you right in. We won't say your name if you don't want to. If you want your name to be said, we surely will for you. We appreciate you guys so much, and we will talk to you next week. Yes. God bless.